Let's have some fun real quick. Just get specific with the Nets picks. From what I can see, I don't know if the Nets have their own pick this year. They wouldn't give it to you anyway. I'm pretty sure they do. But
not with that why attitude. Wouldn't they?
I don't know. It's just not on here. It doesn't say like their own pick, but I'm sure they do. But they have a Houston first rounder this year.
Okay.
Apparently they've got three from other teams this year. They've got Houston, Milwaukee, New York.
Okay.
Let's split the difference and say you get the Milwaukee first rounder, and then you get their own first rounder in 26. Is that good enough for Domo?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm getting the Nets pick. I'll
take that. They're saying Giannis might go to the Nets next year.
Oh, no, he's not there yet. Yeah, I'll do that deal still. Yeah, if Giannis goes to the Nets and I get the Bucks pick.
Who's going with him to the Nets?
Well, no, you got to this year.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Then you would get the Nets next year. Yeah, I still do that, though.
So this is, boy. Okay, I found a non-AI response. This year, the Nets have their pick. Mm-hmm. They got it back from Houston.
There you go. Okay, okay.
They have.
That's what. So the Houston pick is their pick.
Yes, yeah, correct. Gotcha. Correct. That sounds weird, but that's right. They also have a pick from the Bucks, the Suns.
Get that Suns.
And the Knicks. Mm. They have four first round picks this year.
Mm. And they have can't two, use them all, so
they also have their second round pick, and I don't know, Leezy, they have the Heat second round pick.
Whatever.
Those top 37 protected.
You get.
They have six picks this draft.
You get the pick that they have from Milwaukee this year, and you get a 2027 that they have from Philadelphia.
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
That Philly one is protected 1 through 8. In 2027, that Philadelphia one is protected 1 through 8.
Might take that.
This team. This Brooklyn team has a lot of picks.
Yeah.
Is it the two first round picks that puts you over for Domas?
Yeah.
Like it could be
any
team, like obviously you gotta make the money work and all that, but if someone send you two first round picks, you're doing it.
Or send me the Suns.
Yeah, let me get that Suns pick.
Yeah.
You can send me two or send me the Suns.
Send me two or send me a top 10 one this year or a lottery pick this year. The other thing that does it for me, though, Jesse, is the cap relief. I think it allows you more flexibility to be able to improve this roster. So you get Claxton, who's a starting center in this league.
Yeah.
And you're not spending
25 a year.
Yeah. You're not spending $46, $49 million dollars a year on a player.
Yeah, because I think we said it a couple times on here. I don't think Domas's contract is as tough to move as Levine's. Like, Domas is just coming off of All-NBA last year, right?
I just don't know how many people buy him.
Somebody will take
it.
Somebody.
Because
buy him as maybe your third guy, but not like he's not going to be the second.
The thought process behind Domas is Brooklyn. He's a great player, but he's very specific. Like, you need a certain team around him for him to be effective. Yeah. And I don't know how many people, have that roster that they're looking for or are willing to do that at $46, $49 million a year.
Well, no, you killed the deal already because you need a coach who wants to do this. And I don't know. I don't know that Jordy does.
You're right.
Because Jordy is Mike's homie.
I would venture to say Jordy doesn't. And that's not
I don't
even
think
like,
he does.
That's just the way he goes about basketball. He would want a defensive
center. And, like, where's – I'm like, Brooklyn – Doma – Brooklyn could really – you know, they could get Giannis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, Brooklyn has the ability to acquire a major player. They could get – if for whatever reason. They could acquire Devin Booker.
They get Zion or Ja.
Right. Well, that's different.
Well,
But they could. The point is that they could. Domas is not on the top of anyone's to-do list.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you strike out on Giannis, come talk to me.
That is not the pecking order. It is not going to go from Giannis to Domas.
Well, I'll be next to the phone when you're ready.
Okay. If you strike out five times,
I will be there.
Hey, I'll be there.
Hey, did you guys see who has the odds on being Sabonis' next team?
The Pacers?
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
Give us Halliburton. We'll take Tyrese Halliburton.
Look, let's just forget it.
Yeah.
Let's just forget it. Send everybody back. And keep it moving.
You know who has the second odds?
I think.
Who are you thinking?
Is San Antonio?
No.
Oh.
Charlotte.
Yeah, I can see that.
Let's play. We'll talk about it.
I'll send you about
that's
it.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
we need a
would
point
you guys,
guard.
Would you guys do LaMelo?
Yes.
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 LaMelo can't stay healthy, though.
Hold on. I would.
I'm just trying
can't
to
shut up either, but I'd still do it.
I'm trying to see both sides. I would.
Check this out. If we're talking about health, it didn't stop a whole lot of people when we're talking about Zion, because Zion, he missed a lot of games. Same thing with Ja. This year, how many times has Ja been injured this year? So, if we're talking about health, you know.
You ain't gotta convince me.
I love watching LaMelo Ball play basketball and all that, too, but, like, what does that really do? Like,
you got a point guard.
You got a point guard. That's right.
I guess.
He can shoot.
Charlotte's got a point guard, too. But
Would you, like, if you had your choice between LaMelo and Trae Young?
I'm taking LaMelo. He's bigger. LaMelo.
Really?
Yeah.
What are we building towards then?
I don't know.
Yeah, like
hey, you got a young
well, vibes.
Well, with LaMelo, feels like you're building a little bit more because you got a younger guy.
Yep.
That maybe you can.
He's younger. He's been an all-star. He can hit a three. His assist number's pretty good. His rebounding's not bad. I understand he has ankle injuries and maturity issues. But hey, if you're starting somewhere, that ain't a bad place to start.
So would you take LaMelo and? Hoping he can
I
be
feel like
and
we
all
need
that.
Alcohol to finish this conversation.
Okay.
What would you take LaMelo, first?
LaMelo is, it's not the same. I don't.
How many
don't
first?
Like
you get two first and lesser players for Domas, or would you take a LaMelo Ball?
LaMelo.
I love LaMelo, but I don't know if that's taken.
Here's my.
You got to do a lot more work still after that.
Here's my thought with LaMelo. It's almost like you're getting. Like, it's not. So I hesitate saying it, but it's almost like you're getting one of the best players in this draft. He's, what, 22?
Yeah, but he's 22 and he only plays about 50 to 60 games or so.
Where you be picking, how many players do you think would be better than LaMelo? You'd be picking 10 to 15. Like, you're not.
I get that, but it's just like he doesn't play, though, already. Like, maybe there's a different avenue maybe you can go to.
What would
go
you
down.
Do? Would you do the Claxton two picks?
I'd do the Claxton two picks.
Okay, Jesse, do you think the front office does that? You think they say, hey, yeah, we'll take Claxton instead
Scott,
of LaMelo?
I think Scott
so which
Perry
one do you think they would
pick?
LaMelo.
Let me ask, what would be the point of Domas on Brooklyn?
On Brooklyn?
Yeah. Now, mind you, they could execute this deal. And still go get Giannis.
That's what I'm saying. You
like,
still have stuff to work
loaded.
On. Yeah. Like now you're just now we're making the move
but
now.
What's the point in that, in him there? Like you said the Pacers, it seems silly, but yeah, I guess that makes sense. Mm-hmm. You said Charlotte, I don't understand Charlotte, but there's teams that you can work and go, okay, I guess I understand this. Why Brooklyn? Like Brooklyn, they don't have a one or a two.
I think you're going for Sabonis with like you know like our one is going to be this person like you know what the plan is just you're getting Sabonis too.
You got that.
You're trying to get Devin Booker.
Yeah, you got that one in your back pocket already.
Yeah, you already that's like you already basically know what's
maybe
going on.
Maybe they're going to get LaMelo. LaMelo
would,
and Domas in Brooklyn together.
Yeah, I would
with Jordy.
I would do the LaMelo deal.
Jordy would lose.
He would lose his mind. I would do the LaMelo for Sabonis deal.
I don't know if I have that much trust for LaMelo.
Understandable.
Like, I believe in the player, but just if he's not healthy all season for me, I don't know. Like, I would need to know the plans after LaMelo. Though.
But that's my point about Ja and Zion, because people want Ja and Zion too, and I'm like, they're always hurt as well.
Brooklyn has three first-round picks in 2029. They have three first-round picks in 2028. They have
they're the new Thunder.
They have two first round picks in 2027, and it's just the lowly old 2026 draft where they have their pick.
Mm.
Four of them this June. Man.
They're the new Jazz and Thunder.
They still got a James Harden pick in here. From Philly.
Man.
James is on the Clippers. And they still got it's a 1-8 protected. They might not get it. Bad as they are.
Here's the tough part about LaMelo. He's at the beginning of this rookie extension. He's going for 35 was this year. He's then going 37, 40, 43, 46. It's a lot of money for a guy that you don't know Cap's if he can stay healthy. Well, that's true. That's true.
Cap stay going up. Well, get used to it. It's a summer of this. Tune in next week when we try to figure out where DeMar DeRozan can go.
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
Trying Jesus. To figure out where he can go.
Wow.
Yeah, trying to figure out where he can go.
Trying to send him to a good home. Hall of Famer. Send him somewhere good.
Is he coveted?
I mean, for the right team. I mean, what Kyle was talking about earlier. You put him on the Rockets. Rockets, they booming. They need someone they can pass to.
You're sending DeMar to a contender type.
Yeah.
You're not going to trade him. You're not trading him to a bad team. I mean, it's
easy. Like, yeah, right. Because no bad team would want to do that. But, I mean, we go right back to his final two teams, yeah? The Clippers.
Well, yeah, I thought about the Clippers too, but the money, I don't know.
The Clippers and they got a trade, so you're shedding off some of that money. The second year has less of a guarantee to it, unless the Clippers win a championship, and then I think it's fully guaranteed. But I think
Miami would be a great fit.
And then you have Miami this year. And then you have Miami. Yeah.
Miami would be a great fit for him.
Yeah, they need some.
They didn't have money. He chose Sacramento. Yeah, he chose Sacramento because they had 20 more some odd million dollars than anyone else did per year. You have LA, you have Miami.
He'll be a good fit.
Somebody who we're talking to, they might be right. It's that's probably like Jaime Jaquez and Scary Terry.
For DeMar?
Yeah. You think,
I don't think they're getting Jaquez.
You're not getting
Jaime Jaquez for DeMar.
Maybe
I wouldn't do that if I was Miami.
I mean, he's kind of falling back a little bit this year.
He went off and where they sat like pretty much everyone, I think, like towards the end of the season. But Jaime still has like
if you can get Jaime,
I'm not giving up.
You're probably getting
DeMar.
Scary Terry, which I like Terry Rozier. I like him for Prize Picks.
Yeah, run
your
game.
He's not. Like, he's redundant. If you got Malik Monk, what you getting Terry Rozier for?
Yeah, so Miami's out.
Well, that's where DeMar probably want to go.
Well, it's going to be one of those two teams, I think.
You can go back to L.A.
I think the Clippers might work.
Let's see what happens with the Clippers here in this postseason. That could go a long way as to how they approach this offseason. Eddie Gonzalez joins us next here. Great job, Leezy.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Eddie Gonzalez joins us next here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Bringing our man Eddie Gonzalez here. Keep this Friday moving along, man. Just having fun. Just licking our wounds, dog. That's all we doing.
Man.
That's all we doing. Just enjoying the off season, you know, like
aren't we all? Aren't we all?
Like the rest of the bad teams in the league, just enjoying the off season.
It's like, so what would you prefer? The way the Kings went out or the way the Suns went out?
It doesn't even matter.
It doesn't
even matter. Yeah. Like the results the same. Like y'all fired Bud the next day. Y'all waited a couple hours to do. We waited a couple minutes. We told Monty before he got to the car. Like, hey man, it's good, bro.
Monty was there giving a goodbye message. And somebody's like, hey, what the hell is he doing?
Man, why is he?
what is he doing? Somebody didn't tell him yet.
So I'm like, hey guys, I'm gonna work to improve the roster. No, he's not.
Was Watson again feel like, oh, get a little competitive now? Okay, here we go, and just never happened. It was
trash.
Like,
right. Just at the trash, crib, dude. Man.
Yeah, that was. We talked about it yesterday, man, and they really let the city down with that performance. It wasn't even necessarily a loss, but just the way they went out against that Mavs team, it just let everybody down. They really did.
I always hate to kind of like question effort or desire or whatever, but I will say what we've seen from the Kings and the Suns the last month of the season, a little questionable in the effort and desire categories for sure. You know, Suns multiple losses by 20, 30 points, 7 losses in a row before picking up a cheapie over a team that was tanking and then one more loss to finish the season off. And then obviously what you see with the Kings, what was that? The Wizards game? Like, it's hard to not look back at that game and go, all right, like, what are we doing here, guys? And then obviously the play-in was just, you know, you get the Boo Birds, you get guys leaving early, you get AD telling everybody to leave early. It's not how you wanted to end, for sure. Mm.
I left just after halftime and didn't miss a thing. It was a 44-19 second quarter.
It seemed like 100 years ago they won that play-in versus the Warriors, right? I kept saying that about the Suns. It feels like 3 months ago they beat the Cavs, fully healthy, beat them, and just fair and square, right? And for the Kings, even more so. Even that game 7 just feels like so long ago. Yeah. And now we have all that uncertainty going to the offseason. Who knows what's going to be on the court next year?
So, Scott.
Not us. We worked hypothetical deals for Nick Claxton.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
I like Nick, man. Shout out Nick.
Nah, so
well,
right.
Well, Eddie, this is what they said. I saw it on Bleacher Report, so you know how it goes. But just throwing out something, it was Domas for Nick. Like I said, I feel sorry for saying it, but I don't remember who the guy was. He's a random net and 2 first-round picks. Is that like, what would you do if you were the Kings in that situation?
2 firsts for Domas is exciting.
That's where we got stuck. It was like, wait. We sure that's gonna work.
I love Domas. You know, I've been up and down with him. I think he's a talented player, a player you can make work in a few different places. 2 firsts would surprise me quite a bit, but if you get 2 firsts, like, hey, you got to go, buddy. We'll enjoy your time.
Well, they got enough first round picks to do it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And I'm wondering if that's what. So I had a conversation earlier with a person who would know, right? And it was like, why don't the Suns just completely tear it down? And we both agreed that's probably the best way to do it. We look at the Kings, like, look, you know, plug your ears, fans, but a good 2-3 year tank is probably exactly what they need right now to get the cap situation right, to clear the decks, to, you know, to give a new coach a chance to build a culture in that organization, and to hopefully get somebody in the draft that you can build around from there, or catch the right free agent, catch the right sign and trade, catch the right whatever it is in the next couple of years. There's a couple teams in the league who are sitting in that spot, and I think the 2 teams we're talking about are within that box for sure.
You talk about tearing it down completely, you're talking about Devin Booker.
Yeah, I mean, that was the question we were having because of the conversations and the quotes that came out of the press conference yesterday where Matt Ishbia said, only certainties next year are me, I'll be here, and Devin Booker will be here, which was very, very, very loud. But they've said that a few times now. They said it to ESPN. They've been very clear. Mm-hmm. We're trying to compete, which I love. I thought he had a bunch of great quotes about wanting to put together a great culture, a great experience for the fans. And then again, hitched his wagon to Devin Booker, who I think is a great player. He's only 28 years old. He's a multiple-time All-Star, gold medalist, all that good stuff. We know his resume. But I'm just looking like, okay, you're going to give out the richest contract in NBA league history. You're already in an awful cap situation, and you think you want to pile onto that. So I'm asking people around the league, like, am I tripping, or is there a best scenario here to actually see what they can get for Book? And pretty much everybody agreed, but also understood why the Suns aren't going to do that. It's not like you can go in your exit interview as the owner and say, oh yeah, no, we're gonna trade the 2 best players on our team and we're gonna kind of brace for a couple years of losing and then be better. That's not exactly what you say to rile up the fans at that press conference.
Guys, it's gonna be rough for a while.
but re-up those season tickets.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care how it gets done for the Kings or anybody, like, but I there is a part of me that looks at the way that Ishbia goes about things, and that's probably how I would go about it, right? Like, if I have the money and I'm willing to spend it, no, we're going to keep trying to win this thing. I'm trying to get people in here in the front office that can maneuver with trades and, you know, maybe get us some draft picks and stuff like that along the way. But we're not going to just be awful for 4 years. Like, I don't want to do that. Like, I want to keep trying to win this way. And if I got to go sign some people, if I got to take some contracts that, you know, put me in the luxury tax or something like that, I'm going to do that. once again, not saying that it's bad to tank or anything like that, but I can understand like his thought process with this is the way I'm going to go about it.
Absolutely. I thought he had a lot of great quotes about, again, you know, I want to hand this off to the right basketball people. Like, I want my people to make this better. And whether it's these guys or other people, and you know, I'll give the green light at the very end of the conversations. And I think he had a lot of great quotes, again, about the fan experience and about wanting to invest in this team. It's like he essentially said, I'm not here to make money off this team. I'm here to have a great team and a great experience, which I love. If you're a fan, you love that from your owner. And it's like, ideally, he finds the right basketball people for that. But the analogy I use is if I bought a $5 billion toy, I'm not going to leave that in the box on the shelf. I'm going to play with that toy. I don't care if it's a collector's item. And I don't blame him. If I own the team, yo, I'm going to be there. And I'm going to be at the games. I'm going to want to make sure we're good. Why would we want to be bad? But I think the logical kind of like team building situation, and he said this himself too, like, I have to figure out how to work within the NBA is to, you know, recoup a lot of your assets and then slowly begin that build up. Now, again, I was the guy screaming at during the season, like, no, you get more guys. You have Devin Booker, you have Kevin Durant. But now that that has failed, yes, it's time to reassess and figure out what's next.
It's the Kevin Durant, Devin Booker part isn't the problem.
Right.
And I love Brad, like, but you gotta allocate that other $50 million in a different way.
Yep. And that's a question I asked too. Like, is there a reality where they just strip down next to them and then build up from there? Mm-hmm. But it just seems like the situation they're in, like you said, they have $50 million tied up into something they can't really get money back for. And this is the only way to get stuff is to sell this other $50 million player who just happens to be their best player.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
all right.
Their issues are their issues, and the Kings' issues are the Kings' issues.
Sorry, Eddie, not my problem. I did see some of the Matt Ishbia stuff, though, and I kind of – it's like why – like these new owners have to – it's like, no, I'm really excited to be in. I'm going to really screw up the first 3 or 4 years I own this team. Then I'm going to learn some really, really tough lessons. Then I might figure it out. Kings fans might be waiting for their owner to figure it out. But, like, Suns fans are like, hey, we got Book. Like, we've questioned whether Sacramento has a one, whether they ever had a one with De'Aaron. We know that they don't now. There's no question Book is one. KD is one. It's just, you know, things have gone sour with KD and in whatever way. Like, I'm of the feeling, though, I think because you have that one, Eddie, I feel like Phoenix could retool pretty quickly, like maybe even this season. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, obviously you got to be willing to move on from Kevin Durant in that regard or potentially Devin Booker. I don't think both of them. The Kings don't have that one. I think when you have a guy, you have a clear centerpiece that you could build around. When you can say the only two things that are certain are me, the owner, and this player, mm-hmm. I think you're in pretty decent shape when you can do that.
Yeah, I mean, look, like you said, not having the one.
Yep.
That's frustrating. I mean, as a fan, you're sitting there like, who is my guy here? What jersey do I buy? You know what right. I mean? And so you rather have one than not. But again, you're going to pay him this summer, the biggest contract. So that, again, in and of itself is the largest cosign you can give your player. And you have to build around that. And Book isn't old by any means, but he's 28. Like, the clock is ticking in that sense, you know. And then you got guys younger than him are driving the one seeds right now. When you look at Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Donovan Mitchell's a guy that people compare him to. You got Jason Tatum, who is, I think, a year younger than him on the Celtics. So you have, like, that going with you, too. And then you kind of ask yourself the question, like, is he that tier of player? Mm. Because we're about to pay him like he is. And I think he's earned the paycheck. I think he's earned that. But, again, you're going to need to build that team around him. It does feel like a year, maybe 2 years away, whereas, like you said, we're looking at the Kings and saying, okay, first we got to get the dude, and then we're like a year or two away. You know what I'm saying? And I'm looking at the questions you're answering on the way in here, seeing LaMelo Paul and seeing these other names. It's like, is that really possible in this coming summer or in the next couple summers? And we'll see. But what I will give the Kings and what I will give Vivek, they've always been aggressive. Have they been aggressive in the wrong directions a few times? For sure. Mm. But he's always been aggressive. I think you like that, but you hate the way this season ended, obviously. And there's so many question marks. Like, it's frustrating.
Forgive me if my timeline is a little bit off, but I believe you were in New York when Scott Perry was with the Knicks. Are you familiar with his game, so to speak, like, and what he may be bringing to Sacramento as a as an executive? I know he obviously helped put together those Pistons teams.
That's all right. Hang on. It's Kevin. It's
speaker over here going crazy.
Kevin Durant, like, hey, KD.
Okay. King of the Hill start playing. No, I'm not all that familiar, but what I will say is it's a little interesting that when the kind of CAA Avengers from took over the Knicks started obviously going in another direction. Now, again, that goes to the Knicks getting the dude when they got Jalen Brunson and they kind of made their ascension from there. It is curious that they made the hire that quick. Like, they know something. You know, they had somebody in mind and they're going to go in some direction with that. I wonder the amount of, you know, trust he'll be giving going forward from the organization because there's been a ton of turnover. You know, there's been a ton of turnover, several different regimes, and it makes it a interesting job to take. But if there's going to be some patience, if there's a mutual plan going forward, like to see what they do. But again, I think like most teams, like most not big city teams as well, they need to get high in that draft. And they need to hit on one of those picks, and that should be the plan going forward.
What series are you looking forward to the most?
You know, I know Kings fans don't want to hear this, but the Lakers series. I want to see.
I'm good with that. Yeah, Lakers Wolves. Like, yeah,
I want to see him, man. I want to see Luka. I just think the matchups; those teams are so night and day to each other. You know, the Wolves, they want to play big. They want to crash the glass. They rely on Anthony Edwards, obviously, a ton. And then, you know, they want to be in the paint on offense otherwise. And they're crazy athletic, bunch of long arm guys. They're chasing you all around the court, pressing you full court. And on the other side, you have the GOAT. You have Luka Doncic, who beat this team up last season. And those guys are going to be small. And they want to be athletic, and they want to swarm on defense. And they still want to get rebounds because they're small as 4'6", 8" dudes and a 6'5" point guard. But – it's just a class of styles, class of coaching styles as well, and then so many stars on that court. I can't wait to see it. And I got the Wolves right now just because I'm just looking at that athleticism we're going to see on that court. I just think that's a group on a mission, man. I think this is AE's time to really have another run.
I think the Wolves are a potential problem. And I think I got two picks that – teams that I feel people are kind of sleeping on. One is the Wolves, and I made it official. I'll make it official now. I got the Rockets beating the Warriors. I think the Rockets are a problem for Golden State.
My thing with the Rockets Warriors series is I look at them and I love what the Rockets did to that team a couple weeks ago. It's gonna be a rock fight. That's two teams that just look. We're gonna put four defenders on the court. We don't care. We're three dudes who don't want to shoot, one of them that will kind of shoot sometimes, and we're going to go. But when I say it like that, if it's a rock fight, we got a dude who's like a boulder thrower over there in Steph Curry. So I'd love to see him really explode in this series and really take over. But, man, I'm in Thompson chasing him around. It might not be the series for that. It might not be the series. So that's a pick-em for me, too. I'm going to go with the experience of the Warriors. And just feel like, especially if they get that split, and take over home court, I'm going to go with that. But, man, I'm looking at that Rockets team. Like, if they beat them, who knows where they go from there.
That play, and maybe it's recency bias when I say this, but that play-in performance by the Warriors have me not feeling as confident about them. Because they got amazing games stat-wise from Jimmy and Steph. And getting by the skin of their teeth against a Memphis team that just isn't that good. Like I said, Houston is a better version of Memphis. And, yeah, I don't know. They're going to need the others to step up in a major way, and that's talking about the Warriors. The others are going to have to step up.
Yeah, I want to see where the scoring punch comes from on the Rockets. Jalen Green hasn't played very well against the Warriors, and they got defenders who obviously are an issue there. But also some of those games included Andrew Wiggins, and he's more of an issue than I think he'll have with Brandon Podziemski or Moses Moody. I want to see him step up. He could be the real X factor for them. I think Alfred Sengun had a great game and matches up well against them, but it's gonna be a chippy series, man. It might be a chippy series from game one. You know, sometimes we eventually build up to that. I just can see in my head Dylan Brooks yelling at Draymond and yelling at Jimmy Butler and everybody getting involved with that. And then you got Steven Adams coming off the bench. That series is gonna be drama. I can't wait to see it. Yeah. I got the Warriors, like I said, eking it out, but man, it's they're gonna have to earn it.
Well, Dame, Eddie brought up a good point. Those previous games, Warriors Rockets, it involved guys who aren't there anymore, like Andrew Wiggins and Jonathan Kuminga. So you never know what's
get that Jonathan Kuminga joke in. Now let the record show, Eddie. I disagree with everything both of you just said. I like the Lakers in the Timberwolves series.
No, don't say no more. What did he say, Jesse? You just said I like the Lakers.
Quit begging.
Ain't that what he just said? Did we clip that? Yeah.
Quit begging.
Have some respect.
Quit begging. Draymond Green over here. And speaking of, I'm not in on the Rockets yet either. I know they're right there. I don't know how far the Warriors can go in all of this, but I think the Warriors Rockets matchup is super intriguing, and I think the Warriors can win it. My thing with Minnesota, Eddie, is I just don't buy them. I didn't buy them last year. No, didn't buy them last year. I was like, okay, I was wrong last year. Mm-hmm. You're gonna have to show me again. They didn't show me anything this year. I don't buy it. I buy Ant, but that's about the extent of it.
I think for me, it's the matchup they got. And I think the ability to use that size. And I'm with you, I buy Ant. But much like I asked the same question about the Thunder, I'm asking this question about the Rockets too. Who else is helping Ant on offense? That's what I really want to see. And you could say Julius Randle, but we know he's a little inconsistent. You could say Nas, but the same thing from him. Those wings are like really streaky and spotty when it comes to Nard or it comes to Jaden McDaniels. So I'm curious who's going to help him not only make shots, but create offense, penetrate, get into the rim, get to the paint, and get that defense moving. That's what I want to see, and that's what's going to win them the series. You know, being the biggest team, Rudy Gobert making stuff happen in the paint on both sides of the court, but somebody's going to have to step up offensively. We're not asking that question about the Lakers. We are not. We know where the offense is coming from, and we know it will look good. And we got to ask that question about the Wolves. So I'm with you there. I'm with you about the Rockets in that sense too. The one team, like we had mentioned them, that I'm not concerned about in that sense, my MVP, the Denver Nuggets, and Nikola Jokic.
You ain't worried about
what? I'm actually thinking we're sleeping on them. Everybody's excited about the Clippers right now.
You ain't worried about what? You ain't worried about the Nuggets?
We're sleeping on the Nuggets. I think they're going to get that series, man. Everybody's way too quick to hand James Harden and Kawhi this, and we've seen them do this stuff too many times. Like, come on, man. We're betting on Ben Simmons?
No, okay. No, don't do that. Don't do that. No, you know.
Wait just a damn minute.
So I have a confession to make to you. Everyone else knows this already. I don't think I like Jamal Murray. I don't.
I respect the playoff riser, though.
I don't get it. Like I think that's what it is. I think that's what is. I watch him for 82 games, and it's like, yeah, he's fine. He's good. Like he's fine. He's good. And then like he has these moments in the postseason where it's like, oh, okay, there it is. And then he doesn't. And it's like the moments where he's like, woo, Jamal Murray, boy. Those things are magnified, and man, he's a this, he's a that. And then when he doesn't have those moments, it's just like, ah, well, it's not even a discussion.
Yeah.
It's like, no, like if you're second to Nikola Jokic, you can't miss. You can't have an off night. You can't have a bad night because bad for you. He's not going to. Mm-hmm. I don't think Nikola Jokic has had a bad night in 6 years.
Right.
Don't have one in a winner go home game. Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, maybe maybe people are a little hyped on the Clippers, but I don't know that I'm sleeping on the Nuggets.
Yeah, we're giving a lot to Norm Powell here. We're giving a lot to
stop. How about Ty Lue?
Yeah, how about Derek Christian Jones Brown? Now we're giving a lot to Christian Brown.
Put slotting in a coach 2 weeks before playoffs is kind of crazy.
Christian Brown's the white De'Aaron Fox.
I'm good with Christian Brown. I think we're good. We're getting what we need from him. But I do think there's something to continuity, and I do think there's something to having a bread and butter, which is like Odie's basic analysis, I know. But if we're in a close game, we can run that 1-2 with Jamal and with Jokic. And we're gonna get a good shot every time. Y'all don't have the personnel to deal with this. I will say the one guy that scares me, Ivica Zubac.
Yeah.
He'd be looking like a monster on the right night.
Hey, Daddy, I'm on that train, man.
Zubac might be defensive player of the year.
Might be. He might be. I'm on that train. I'm not predicting that they get here, but they could win the West. I believe the Clippers can win the West.
Yeah, no, they could. And again, if we get the Kawhi that we're all hoping we get, and I'm not being like asterisk injury guy, but like that is the truth of it. Mm-hmm. He looks great now. Mm-hmm. And we always have to cross our fingers and knock on wood. He does look great now, and it's time to step it up even more. I would say this. I was at his last playoff game, and he looked like a monster. Mm. And then he didn't play again, which was unfortunate. Mm. It was fortunate for my guy. But he did look like a monster last time I seen him in a playoff game, and I'd imagine he will again.
Who you got tonight? We got Grizzlies in Dallas and Miami in Orlando.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, Miami and Atlanta.
Miami and Atlanta. Sorry, yeah, Orlando's already moved along.
I'm going to go with both home teams. I'm going to just trust that. But, man, did the Hawks look bad. Somebody watched them play basketball, so that's tough to see. If Ja is good and his ankle is straight, if he's like 80%, they got to take care of business there. I like the Mavs. The Mavs are cool, but, man, did the Kings make them look way better than what they are. So I'd expect Grizzlies and their firepower offense to kind of overwhelm. That is the conference game. I hope it's good. I hope it's good because I don't know about y'all, but I'm like, we need to get ready to play. I'm that team.
No.
Right now.
Really? I'm over. Well, it's not happening because it's brought to you by SoFi, which means they're just making money on it. They ain't going nowhere.
We're getting one good game out of every eight. Like, can we get, like, that's you fine. Know.
It gives us something to do during the week, though. Because they're going to give them a week off.
How boring was last night?
Yeah.
But look, I had asked the other day, like, I feel like the playoffs usually started faster, right? We didn't get a week off. And it was like, yo, the season would end like Wednesday and we get playoff games Saturday. That's fine. Yeah. We can do that. So I don't know. I'm just kind of over these games. We're watching bad teams get blown out by another bad team. What's the fun in that?
Doesn't matter. Brought to you by SoFi. As long as it's brought to you by SoFi, it ain't going nowhere.
So it's not going nowhere. We're there every time.
Which one?
And they get stars. We keep getting stars in these, too.
The Warriors Grizzlies game was a monster. It did like $4 million or something like that the other night.
And every other game stunk. But it was a monster. Yeah. And again, we keep getting stars. We keep getting Steph Curry. We keep getting LeBron. We got KD a couple of times.
Didn't we have Steph versus LeBron?
Yeah, that was the first one, right?
First year.
Yep.
That was ESPN's wet dream.
That's like, when he couldn't see. He saw three baskets.
No? And Steph looked at him like, please. Please.
What about LeBron setting up the theater stanchion in his home? And making it like he went to a theater, and I'm looking at this picture like, you're in your house, buddy. Like,
LeBron,
I'm happy you got the center screener, but come on,
LeBron live,
man. That's a funny dude.
LeBron James,
I don't know if it was a
flex
or he got a lie on us and we caught him, but it was like, all right, boss, I love it.
Oh man, it was funny last week. I know we gotta go, but I'll tell you when we get back. It was funny last week with LeBron. I'll tell you about it.
Eddie, we appreciate you as always, my brother. Thank you so much.
All right, family.
So, man, Eddie Gonzalez spending his Friday with us, man. We'll come back. We free the rest of the way. I got a text. Well, I'll tell you about this when we get back to Steelin' with KC on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. Let's get a man TC in here, Elk Grove Kid Talk Line. TC, what's happening, baby?
Yes, sir. What's up with my three brothers, man?
What's good, TC?
Hey, man, check it out, man. Look, so I got a...
TC, are you high?
No, listen, man. Hey, I'm good, man. I'm chilling. I'm off today, man. I'm kicked back.
Oh, okay, no doubt. Off day. I see you.
Yeah, man, I'm lounging, man. They gave us a good Friday today, man, so we took it.
Okay. That's a good look.
Yeah, for sure, man. Look, check it out. So, look, hey, send him on home, man. He can either go to the Lakers or the Clippers, man. The Lakers, I'll take Rui and Vanderbilt. Or we can send him to the Clippers, see if we can squeeze the boy Derrick Jones. And you know what? I ain't going to lie. This really is shoot. I take a fly on Ben Simmons. That's my deal, bro.
I mean, all right, Ben Simmons. I think he's actually going to be a free agent. But
doing that again?
Not interested in that. I do like the Derrick Jones. I think Derrick Jones is a good ball player, and that would help the Kings. Ben Simmons, especially like if I don't know that money's right. Like if you're still taking money from that old contract, I'm cool. I think he's actually going to be a free agent though.
Yeah, I think this. I think this is the last year of his deal.
Yeah. I will say this: free agent Ben Simmons on a certain type of deal. Kick the tires.
Not a Rui Hachimura guy.
I like Rui.
No, I do. 13 points.
I like Rui.
51% from the field, 41% from three.
Yeah, Rui's good. I like Rui. Rui. I mean, it'd be like Rui in exchange for DeRozan.
TC was talking about that.
Maybe you
probably have to work around that a little bit more, but
yeah. Rui would be a good look. Yeah.
Talked about Sabonis. Like, what do you think you're getting for DeRozan this offseason?
Something.
Is that something along the lines of like what TC just talked about?
Yeah.
Rui, Derrick Jones Jr. Yeah. Maybe a second rounder or something like that. Yeah, something like that. They're calling Carmichael C in the
Why they call him that?
Because he wanted Ben Simmons.
Oh, okay.
Carmichael C.
That's funny.
Oh man, the thing I know probably would have like kept this past the break and everything, but we never talked about it because it was just Kings for the weekend. Did you see when Isaiah Thomas was just so disgusted with LeBron James before the game?
Bro, relax.
No, I don't think you too.
I'm tired of you tweeting about, oh, remember when we used to have suits on the coaches?
No, they need to bring the suits.
No, they
back.
Don't. They don't.
No, they need to bring the
Let
suits
LeBron
back.
Shoot with the shirt off if he wants.
That's part of the personality. Well, like, so there was a clip, and maybe I guess you could probably find it on Twitter, but they're on the NBA TV broadcast, and LeBron is warming up. And they're like, LeBron getting ready to take on the Pistons. And he's, you know, nobody's even there. And he's got his shirt off and some sweats. And Isaiah Thomas is just, this is ridiculous. This is absolutely second ridiculous.
I got it.
Isaiah probably
he
is.
Was tight.
Back in my day, Bill Laimbeer would have laid him out for that.
Bill Laimbeer was drinking Budweiser before the game. What do we?
Second part of our doubleheader tonight. LeBron James going to play the game like this. Shirts and skins is what they're doing tonight.
I just totally 100% object to this. And if I was the GM or coach,
me too.
I would never let one of my players walk out on the floor looking like this. I mean, we are a professional NBA league. We ain't summer league. We ain't you know at the YMCA.
Listen, I think coaches got to go back to suits.
Absolutely. You know, yeah. I just think the professionalism in our NBA league has diminished so much. And I like LeBron. I'm a fan of his, so forth and so on. But to walk out on the floor before a game with no shirt on and shoot, I mean, come on, man. This, where we at? What we doing? Where we at? Now, if you want to, Adam Silver, if you want to find somebody, find that. Put a fine on that.
Hey, that's
spoken by the Hall of Famer.
That's great.
Find that.
That's great, Grandpa. Let's go to bed now.
And look, and this is what I tweeted out. He's being a little extra. I don't think he's wrong, though.
First of all, that's your boy.
He's not wrong.
Hell yeah, he is.
He's not
Why?
Wrong.
Why? What does it matter? LeBron, back in Isaiah's day, LeBron would have shot shirtless and they gave Isaiah 60 that night.
He's being extra.
First,
I don't think there's anything wrong with being in the NBA and saying, hey, LeBron, can you at least have a tank top on?
Miss me with professionalism.
The arena is empty.
We're playing a child's game, too. Miss me with professionalism, please.
The arena is empty. What is the problem?
But you're in the NBA arena. You're on a game day. Just wear a shirt. If you want to do all that at St. Very St.
Okay, this is the same league where James and Sean got to go in there. Why these dudes don't have shirts on to conduct interviews?
That's in a locker room.
With their cameras rolling.
That's in a locker room.
What's the difference? The cameras are on.
I'm just saying, if we're talking, that's also not the way they do that.
Why is this unprofessional?
Because you got your shirt off in the main gym.
Bro, you're wearing a tank top.
Who's wearing a tank top?
I'm saying you wear a tank top during the game. Why is removing it that big of a deal?
I don't think it's that big of a deal. I don't feel like the way Isaiah does. But I also understand what he's saying. Like, it's not the craziest thing in the world if somebody's like, hey, all these compression tanks, can you have that on?
What does it matter, on the main court?
I don't even understand.
There's a level of professionalism to it.
This is not unprofessional.
We're playing basketball.
This is not unprofessional.
Okay.
All right.
Is wearing a do-rag unprofessional?
I'm not sure if...
Is wearing a do-rag unprofessional?
Some people would argue that.
I'm asking you.
Yeah, it is unprofessional.
Okay, so he's got to take the do-rag off. DeMar's got to take the do-rag off. Everyone who wears one can't wear one there.
I would say in an NBA setting, like at work or all that other stuff, yeah, I'll put it to you like this. I wouldn't have the do-rag on. But that's just me. Everybody, different strokes, different folks. Some people don't feel like it's a problem. Or if I, like Reese, I'll be like, hey, man, you're doing an interview, and take the do-rag off. Take the do-rag off. Put it right back on when you get done with the interview. That's fine, because you're trying to keep everything fresh. I get that. But I don't think it's the worst thing in the world where he's like, hey, man, we're in the NBA here. Can you put a shirt on?
Okay.
I know you hate Isaiah, but I don't think it's the worst.
I don't hate Isaiah.
I don't think it's the worst thing in the world.
One, I think that take was absurd.
He was extra about it.
Also,
but it's not crazy.
Zeke got some work done, right?
Looks like he just has makeup on.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, that's what it looked like.
Oh, okay. I was watching.
He got a gang of makeup.
He might have a little Botox, like something. Like I face. It was like a
little flare to it. Or
it looks like he's having a tough time. Talk. I was like, oh, maybe he got it. Yeah, he got a little Botox.
Like he just covered in makeup.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, you can always tell when a black man has a white woman doing his makeup. Shout out Shannon Sharp. Never forget Shannon. I don't know. I guess that's probably what it is. He just has a ton of makeup on.
That's the answer to that one.
Yeah, he is wearing some makeup. All right. You would take Isaiah. You love that, dude. I'm going to get you an Isaiah
Thomas
jersey.
I do like Isaiah's, but I...
No, you
I
love. Don't. I'm going to get you an Isaiah. That's the next jersey you're going to get.
That's a dope jersey.
I'm going to get you an Isaiah Thomas jersey.
That's a dope jersey. But I am...
One he can't get traded from.
I am a little bit... Justin called old school. That's fine. I am a little old school with it, though. Like, put a shirt on, have the coaches in the suit. Like, I don't think there's anything.
Why does any of that matter?
The way I say, yeah, what I wear don't affect anyone else, so don't worry about it.
I mean, I'm not against the one. I think the whole take about wearing a shirt while you're working out is dumb. But why is the suit thing a big deal?
It's a certain, once again, a certain level of professionalism to it. These guys don't look bad. Like, they look better than they have in the past, and they've also kind of, you know, used it to their benefit.
They look better than Devin Carter looked for half the season.
Devin Carter, first of all, I thought he looked fine. But that's a whole other thing as well. Like I didn't, once again, old school, professionalism. I didn't think the dress code was the worst thing in the world.
Oh, actually, I didn't either.
Like, you're working.
Some of y'all are exposed that you can't dress.
I didn't think that was the worst thing in the world. Like, it's the fact that it isn't, like, in place anymore. Okay, whatever. But if Adam Silver was like, hey, man, we'll get a little bit more lenient on how we dress coming into these games. All right, cool. Like, look a little better than sweats and flip-flops coming into the arena sometimes.
I agree with that.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it. But like I said, I'm the guy, like, I like suits. I like wearing suits. I like the way they look. You know what I mean? Like, I'm... It's just me. It's no knock. I like suits with the dress suit, you know, or with the dress shoes, and tux with the black dress shoes. Like, that's, I think it looks good. It looks good when how you were at Kyle's wedding. Like, that looked fresh too. But I don't think there's anything wrong with saying, hey, NBA player, like, or NBA coach, I like Pat Riley's Armani suits. Like, put that on. It's cool.